You may be seated, and Pastor, won't you come?
All right, thank you so much, ladies and Brother Steve. And I had a testimony because the pandemic really kind of set things off for about 2 years, and we weren't able to get together around the church, get things done outside, and just kept building and kept building and getting shabbier by the day. And so we did have a good work day on Saturday, and then I had the boys come down and. All those panels that we had done for VBS. I mean, we painted over them and over and over them as many times as we could, but we put all that styrofoam out front. And initially we stuck it on the side of the church, and I told the boys, let's drag it out there, let's put it out that way. And we stuck these posts in the ground, put it in there, and within an hour and a half, it was gone. And I was amazed that it was gone, but hey, praise the Lord for that. And even the plywood panels were gone. Gone. So I know maybe they just like the artwork. they probably went down the road thinking they had some Mona Lisa something there from the church or something. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, but I put the boys to work, and it's good. We're getting caught up on some things, getting the deck. Got a lot more painting to do on the deck out that way, and painting the deck surface and getting all that squared away. But when we started really cleaning out between the shed and the building here, there were two aprons, cement aprons back there. And they had separated, and there was probably about an inch and a half separated all the way down right alongside the building. So every time we got a torrential downpour, and that's where that rain was coming from. So we got a bunch of buckets of cement, some hydraulic cement there, and we mixed it all up there, and we patched them up there. And at least from yesterday's storm, I think it really rained pretty hard about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was coming down, and not a drop in the church. So praise the Lord, maybe we solved that problem, at least temporarily, and if it'll last a couple more years, it'll be someone else's problem, not mine. I love it. It's been good working with the boys, and they're going to keep me broke. There's no doubt about it. When I get hungry and I decide to go get something to eat, I can't leave them all here, so I have to take them out to lunch. Yeah. Might be cheaper just take them to the Grand Buffet, and then I'd never get them back to work again. Psalm 48, if you would. Now, you know, some of the things that we deal with here, in, like dealing with Psalm 48, 47, 46, and so on, and the course that we tack with them and making an application from, especially from Psalm 48, when we look at a heavenly model. Someone's probably thinking that, well, we're older and that doesn't really pertain to us. The Bible always pertains to us, no matter what age we are. You may be called upon, you know, maybe at work. You're older than some of the workers that work there, and they sense there's a certain degree of spiritual maturity or some kind of maturity about you, and they ask you a question. Can you give them biblical counsel? Well, that is part of Ephesians chapter 4, and that is equipping the saints. Equipping you to go out there, as Brother Steve said, beyond these doors is your mission field. In fact, I was going to tell you, we need to get that on. We get that in those letters that you can put on the walls and stuff like that. We can put them on those doors. Beyond this door is your mission field. And so the idea is to equip the saints. That means you're going to be able to go out there and help these younger ones, whether they're in the church or out of the church or unchurched, and be able to give them some godly counsel along the way. And that really is important for us to be able to do that. So don't ever just dismiss that and say, well, you know, I'm a widow or I'm a widower and I'm whatever it is that I am. Whatever it might be, then listen, God still can use you, which means you still need to prepare yourself for being out there in the world. Amen? Amen. So we're looking at a heavenly model part 2 from Psalm 48. And we looked at the first verse out of that last week. And it says, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Now we know that that's some lyrics in one of the songs we sing. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And we'll get through verse 2 tonight, hopefully. And then we've got to get some prayer time in. So as we begin as we began this time, we stated praise is a powerful asset to the Christian life, not just only in church. You know, I really believe that people spend more time praising God in church than they do at home. Amen. But praise isn't only limited to God. Somehow we think we're doing a disservice to someone if we praise them as sons and daughters, if they've done something. They listen, you know what your child's aptitude is. If they definitely are typical of being an A student, and they're coming home with low C's and D's, then yeah, you might want to, you know, have a little chit-chat with them and say, listen, you can do better than this, and if you don't do better, you're going to find yourself, I'm going to say flipping hamburgers, but right now you make more money flipping hamburgers than I ever thought to imagine when I was their age. Good night. I mean, it's $18 an hour or $17. If you got experience, that means, I guess, if you can flip them and get them until they come down and land the same place. I don't know what kind of experience you have to have for that, but you have to have something. But, you know, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at for a teenager to be able to go out there and make $17, $18 an hour. As you see those signs out there, you kind of chuckle to yourself. And my first job out of high school was $1.25 an hour. Babysitters only made 50 cents to 75 cents an hour. And man, could you imagine putting up a brat for just 75 cents an hour? I mean, nowadays, I don't know what they charge for an hour when it comes right down to it. But anyway, as we began this time, we stated praise is a powerful asset. So in our relationship with the Lord our God, it's important to be praising God. He is worthy of all praise. Well, you know, suppose my day didn't go too well. Praise him anyway. Yeah. Amen? You had to learn something in that. If you didn't mumble and grumble all day long, we don't sing that song. The chorus of kids sing mumble all day or whatever. Diane would know what that song is. Mumble on a Monday, mumble on a Tuesday, or grumble on a Monday, grumble on a Tuesday. Remember those songs you used to sing there? Grumble a whole day through, whatever it was along the way there. I'm afraid that many times that's how we are. When I stop praising God, that's you're telling God, listen, I'm not happy with how this day's turning out. Rather than simply saying, you know what, Lord, it really looks like it's a good, going in a bad direction, but Lord, somehow I know you're in this. I want to be able to see you. I want you to be able to use me in this particular day. See, that's how things get turned around mentally and emotionally, amen? Rather than simply just kind of, when you mumble and you grumble because it looks like it's going to be a bad day, or it may be a bad day, then it just adds fuel to the fire. And you really want to do that? Praise somehow has a way of lifting us out of that. So in our relationship with the Lord our God, praise God. In our homes, when praise for one another is also to be prevalent. You know what? Your wife may not be the best cook in the world, but she puts a meal on the table and it's edible. It may not be incredible, but it's edible. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord for it. You got some food on the table there along the way and so on. But however it might be, we can find something to praise. Now, we shouldn't have to dig that deep. It should be natural for us. Listen, if our wives are willing to put up with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they deserve praise just for that alone, most of the time, and vice versa, if you will. But it is counterproductive to give praise to God if praise is absent from the home. If your home is in turmoil, and we dealt with that last week from verse 1, that a home in turmoil is not a home where God is the center of it. Or at least he's not the center of your individual life, as he ought to be, because it's amazing when God is the very center of our lives and we're not trying to suck everybody into that vortex of our lives, then we can have praise for God. So it is counterproductive to give praise to God if praise is absent from the home. In fact, it is hypocritical to have praise for God and not in the home. Do you have a roof over your head? Thank God for the roof. Do you have food in the cabinet? Then praise God for that. You may have to pray a little harder for the gas in your tank when you pay that $5 or whatever it is, cents a gallon now at this particular point in time. But you know what? It was no surprise to God that we'd be paying $5. He knows what we're going to be paying for it next week, next month, and so on. We don't know. But he does. And listen, God's going to take care of it. Amen? But you know, the flesh is always quick to find fault. Amen? That's just one of the characteristics of the flesh, because the flesh is our fallen nature. And so it is always quick to find fault, and it's slow to give praise and encouragement. It's like salt and fresh water issuing from the same fountain. As James asked the question in his epistle, can a fountain give forth sweet water or salt at the same time? Well, you run salt water through the pipes, the residue is going to stay there, and the water you drink, it's going to taste salty as well. So the answer to that is no. So point number one from last week was the home should be a place of exaltation. Learn to do that, practice that. Men, be careful. If you have never praised your wife for something, make sure that she's close where she's not going to hit her head on something sharp or anything. I don't want you to scare her half to death and wonder where, who abducted my husband on the way home from work or something, or even vice versa. It could work the other way as well. But it should be, and You know, one of the things that the kids will remember, our young people, and they grow up, is the times that you encouraged them and you gave them praise and so on, as well as the times you screamed at them, you yelled at them, you cajoled them, and whatever else you might do with them, because maybe they don't do exactly what you want the way you want it done. But nonetheless, we have to find some ways in which to be able to give praise and encouragement along the way. Well, tonight, by way of application here tonight, we look at verse 2. He says here, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Almost wants to break out singing that, don't you? Do you find that? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, you know, you're kind of reading through the scripture and you're going along there. All of a sudden you hit a song where there's lyrics in a song there and you find yourself singing. And probably the Lord said, who's that down there? Doing that down there? That preacher, he can't sing. But in my mind, it goes for sure. And in my mind, I can keep tuned. But somewhere between here and here, total disconnect along the way there. So the Bible gives us a great deal of information as to God's expectation of the interaction of a husband and a wife, as well as biblical dynamics of the family. And I can never stress enough, that's why it's so important for young people to make sure that someone that they're marrying, that they're choosing or looking to marry, has a godly core to them. Because how do you build a family? How do you build a godly home if you're not on the same page? Well, you don't. Certainly, a lot of troubled waters under the bridge. Now, it's a different story when you are equally yoked in being unsaved, and then one of the partners in the relationship gets saved. Then there is an unequalness in there, which you certainly need a lot more God's grace to be able to deal with that imbalance, if you will. And we'll deal with that here in just a few minutes here, but it's so important for that. So the idea is that the Bible gives a great deal of information as to God's expectation of the interaction of a husband and a wife, as well as biblical dynamics of the family. God just didn't kind of put it together there and then just kind of throw it off someplace so we could discard it. No marriage is going to be absolutely perfect. Amen. Anybody who's been married more than a day knows that already, right? At least you should. So no marriage is going to be absolutely perfect because no one is perfect. Men, you didn't marry the perfect woman. And women, you didn't marry the perfect man. And when you decide to have children, you didn't have perfect children. Now, I know yours are always more perfect than your neighbor's or someone else's, but that's beside the point. So what you've got here is two imperfect people coming together, endeavoring to grow spiritually mature, working to perfect their relationship with God and with each other. And that's what ministry is. Husbands ministering to the wives, wives ministering to the husbands. Now, there may be times in a marriage, in a relationship, where the husband will have to do a little bit more of the ministering and the wife, or other times maybe the wife will have to do more ministering, depending on what the situation might be. But God even has the necessary information if one spouse gets saved before the other. And it isn't about exercising a critical spirit or badgering them about salvation. You can't drive anybody to the cross of Calvary. We invite them. We encourage them to come, yes, but you can't push them. You can't shove them. I think it's might be the Jehovah's Witness, if I'm not mistaken there, that they have some sort of a creed within their organization. And that is, if you become a Jehovah's Witness, And after so many years, your spouse does not leave them and marry someone within the church. What a stupid idea. I mean, absolutely stupid idea. But you know, that's what happens when you get away from the Word of God. And that's what happens when you're not focused on God when it comes to the Scriptures. So it is, however, about loving the unsaved with a greater love, a more sincere spirit of building up and encouraging them as your spouse. It's called unconditional love. And so as the men of God or as women of God, if we have an unsaved spouse or even a backslidden spouse for that matter, it's a matter of we need to be able to ensure them or to assure them, I should say, to assure them that we unconditionally love them for sure. It's the unconditional love of God that brought us to the cross of Calvary. It's the unconditional love of God that redeemed us. It was the unconditional love of Jesus Christ that went to the cross as our substitute before the Father. So the unsaved will not understand what you do when it comes to spiritual truths and values. Love them as God loved you before you were saved, because before you were saved, you didn't have a clue either. Amen. I mean, how many of you actually knew what God expected out of the children of God? Well, depending on what kind of a church, what kind of a religion, because if you remember what I said about Baptists, we're not Baptist is not a religion. Being a Baptist is about a relationship. We identify as a Baptist, but folks, remember I told you about when you have to go maybe to the hospital and maybe fill out the information, what's your religion? And you say, I don't have a religion. You say, I have a relationship. I have a relationship with the Lord, my Savior. I have a relationship with my Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. That'll blow their mind, because they're not going to be able to figure out, how do I put all that on one line? You just tell them, I've got a relationship, amen. You just tell them, I have a relationship with the Lord. Hey, by the way, since you're asking, I can tell you how you could have one too. Hey, they're on the other side of the desk, and you got to, I think it was Jerry Bilodeau. I remember him telling you when he lived over, before they relocated to Pensacola. And an insurance man called up, he wanted to come by and give him a spiel about insurance. And Jerry said, yeah, sure, come on by. So the guy came by, and I guess for like 20 minutes, he gave him this insurance, the insurance spiel. And then Jerry turned around and said, okay, now listen, I've listened to you for 20 minutes. Now you're going to give me 20 minutes. And he gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't remember if the guy ever got saved or not. But hey, listen, you know what? Maybe we ought to try that the next time we get. Well, I'm sorry, I got a wrong number. Say, no, you didn't. God wants you to dial that number. Now let me see. You know, they may hang up on you, but be that as it may. But allow God to love your unsaved spouse through you. It's the same thing an unsaved coworker, unsaved neighbor, unsaved family members, or those who are nearest and dearest, sons and daughters and so on there. Allow God to love them through you. In other words, they need to experience God's love through you, the individual, because you are the only one in that relationship, or be it whatever it might be, you're the only one who can really give them a taste of the divine love of God. Amen? Now, people are flying all over again. Allow God to love you through, love your unsaved spouse through you, love your unsaved children, your unsaved moms and dads. Regardless of how cantankerous they may get while under conviction, because you know what? The closer you try to walk with God before an unsaved family member or spouse, they can get pretty cantankerous, because they're not about to give in. And they're going to try to push you to the limits, because they want you to fail. And if you fail, then they can simply say there was nothing to it to begin with. Amen? So, they are going to test the sincerity that you have towards God and them as well. So interestingly, the word situation in verse 2, as we go back there, it says beautiful for situation. Now, it means elevation or height. Elevation or height. In our text, of all the places upon earth, there is no place as beautiful as Mount Zion to the Jew as Jerusalem. Because that is where God met with them. That is where the Paschal Lamb was offered. That's where the sins were covered, or the Hebrew word kephar. And so now it's the cross of Calvary. But to the Jew, when he was writing in the Old Testament, especially certain David, especially when David was on the run, then Mount Zion would have been a beautiful place. And I believe it was. I mean, when I was there, I didn't think it was all that beautiful. It's very crowded. The streets are somewhat narrow. And I think someone just kind of closed their eyes and they just threw a rock and put a road that direction, got there and threw another rock and built another road. And that, it didn't make any sense to me one way or the other. And of course, the temple, we know that it has been destroyed and it has been rebuilt. And then, of course, you have the Golden Dome, and then I forget what the Black Dome is. You remember what he said that was? The Golden Dome was Muhammad. No, Muhammad was the Black Dome. Allah is the Gold Dome. So the brown dome that's almost smaller on the property, I believe that was for Muhammad. And then, of course, the golden one is where they're supposed to go and worship Allah. But the interesting thing was that we were there in the last day of Ramadan. When we got to Jerusalem, there was the last day of Ramadan, which means that the city of Jerusalem was just overrun by all kinds of Arabs and Muslims, I would say, anyway. And so we weren't taking buses anywhere, and we walked from the hotel, and we walked up into the Mount of Olives, and kind of, we did get a bus back. I think we ended up getting a bus back. You stayed home that day anyway. You took a day off, and much needed rest. So anyway, it was just, to me, in David's day, it was undoubtedly beautiful. I imagine with all that cut stone, the beauty. I mean, Herod did a wonderful job beautifying the temple and the Temple Mount. So you have to understand, they're writing from that particular day and period. So, and the question is that, why? Because it is where the house of God is located. In its former days, it was beautiful, and God was there. Today, not so much. You see the Arabs, and they're down there, and they're doing their little thing at the, I don't know if they're pecking at the wall, I don't know, but they're doing their little thing there at the wall, and they're doing their prayers. They have the little Torahs open, their Hebrew Bibles, and putting little notes in there, and you go to another, there's a chamber off from the main courtyard, and in there, and they're sitting down, and the Hasidic Jews, and their full clothing, and which they would typical of them dress. They got their Bibles, and they're doing the same thing, sitting in chairs, and they'll do that for hours, just praying. Well, the truth of the matter is, God's not there, and yet they continue to do that. So, heaven, on the other hand, is elevated above the daily problems and the turmoil of this old fallen world. And really, Jerusalem was on one of the higher mountains there in that particular area there. Of course, no matter where you were, if you were down in the Valley of Jehoshaphat or down the Kidron Valley, and you're looking up at Jerusalem and so on there, then it would be beautiful, even where we were on the Mount of Olives, or the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, yeah, the Garden of Gethsemane is where we walked over there. I get it right. But you get up there, and you could look down over all of these tombs on the surface that are down there, and you're looking down into the valley, and you look up on the other side of the hill there, and there is the west gate of the temple. And from a distance, it really did really look nice. So it must have been spectacular in its day, and beautiful. Heaven, on the other hand, we said it's elevated above the daily problems and the turmoil of this old fallen world, is a beauty to behold in the mind and the heart of the redeemed of the Lord. So, which is a point, as a redeemed of the Lord, we should be fashioning and fostering a home designed to be above the turmoil and the world of sin that exists everywhere else in the sinful world. I mean, when you come home at work, and it used to be, you say, when men come home at work, you want your house to be an oasis. Now, when husbands and wives come home, both of them want it to be an oasis. When the kids come home from school, and some of them have part-time jobs after school, they want to come home there, and they don't want to come home to a brawling, unrestful home to come. So our home should be Christ-centered and Christ-focused. And above the fray of what's going on around in the rest of the world. Now, I'm not saying we just turn a blind eye to what's going on in the world, but we come home and it's refreshing. There's a tranquility there because, you know, that's where the Lord lives. He is the center of the home. He's the center of the marriage. He's the center of the family dynamics. So it takes two functioning on the same spiritual level to accomplish a home where tranquility is the norm and not abnormal. I think it was Vance Havner used to say that if God's people ever woke up and started acting like normal, the world would think them abnormal. And he used to say that most Christians, when it comes to revival, they wake up long enough to roll over on the other side, go back to sleep again, which is true. So many things that we do. But two people functioning together, when you have children, you raise them up in the nurture and admonition. If you want to come to relationship with Christ later on in life, it's going to be a little more difficult. It's going to be a little bit harder. You're going to have a tremendous amount of God's patience, to say the least, of Job's. But anyway, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and you can just mark it down there, verses 14 through 18, he says here, to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that would be contractually anything, whether you're talking about business or one thing or another, but especially in a marriage. See, marriage is a contract, is it not? You're entering into a contract with a woman or a man, husband and a wife, And you're also asking God to be a witness to that, along with all the guests that are there, are witness to the contract that you're making, covenant between the two of you, and as well with God. And so when you choose to marry an unsaved individual, guess what? Where's the spiritual tranquility going to come from? It's not going to be very easy. It's going to be very difficult, if anything else. So 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 is the ideal information beginning point for any two thinking about a relationship. Anything else is disobedience, and problems that should not be are going to be. That's all that simple. It's not that difficult to figure that one out. And so our homes should be a spiritual oasis away from a dark, dry, barren world. Do you really want to bring all the stuff at home from work at home with you? Now, it'd be one thing to bring the tranquility of home into the workplace, but when you take to the workplace, the arguing, the carrying on, and the backbiting, and all the stuff that exists sometimes in some places there, you just want to be able to come to your home, and when you shut that door, all that stuff is outside. Some men said that they would come home from work sometimes, and they would take all their problems for the day, and they'd hang them on a tree, and not allow those problems to come with them in the home. He said they have no place being in the home. So I was listening to Dr. Cooper on KNVBC, and I believe he put it frankly that as we begin our day, and it doesn't hurt as we walk throughout our day, ask the Holy Spirit what He would have you to wear for this day. Dress for success, not according to the world, but according to God. Ask the Holy Spirit what music would please Him. Not what pleases you or me. Ask the Holy Spirit what TV program would please Him. Ask the Holy Spirit how He wants us to handle the circumstances before us. Ask the Holy Spirit what He would have us to choose when it comes to church. Bible reading, our prayer time, or some other activity that could be done at another time, but we feel like doing it right now, so I'm going to do this right now, I don't want to go to church. Don't plan stuff. It's not rocket science. You got a schedule. You know exactly. We meet at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We meet again at 6 o'clock. We meet again on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Don't plan anything in those time frames. Amen? Don't plan anything there. And you want to make the choice. It's when you come to that particular point and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to go on a picnic or I'm going to go to church. I don't know if I'm going to go play soccer or I'm going to go to church. I don't know if I'm going to go see Aunt Matilda's toe throbbing because she stubbed it, or go to church. See, those are choices that we put before us that it involves the flesh rather than the Holy Spirit of God. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, if we just turn there very quickly, has two likewises in that chapter. It starts out with likewise wives. All right? So, but there's also a likewise husbands, because we tend to get to the first likewise and we like that, so we stay and we hang out there. All right, it says here in chapter 3, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, do you think it's fair for a man to ask a wife to be in subjection to her husband if he is not being subjective to the Lord? Not at all. Why would you expect it? The wives know that they had to follow leadership. And our leadership, men, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the what? Conversations of the wives. Now that's not yaddy, 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 yaddy. That, the conversation is everything. It's how, as a woman, how you react. You can fly off the handle, scream and yell and rant and rave, but that's not positive conversation. So conversation in the Old English is the conduct. It's our verbal, our actions and our reactions, the choices and the decisions that we make in life. And it says there that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, women, you're going to translate the word of God into your life's actions, how you live your life. But it goes on and it says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, that is reverence. Man, I don't know how my wife can be so calm. I'm trying to chew her head off here and she's just kind of smiling at me. And she's probably trying to remember where that gun is. No, just kidding. But it says, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That is what God is doing, what God has accomplished within the human heart. And we jump on to verse 5. It says, "And after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection of their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands." All right, so God, he's got something to say to you guys. You know, it works the same way if you have an unsaved wife. And you're saved, let it be that hidden man of the heart that will win her by your chaste conversation as well. And he says here, he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Do you really know your wives? Do you really know them? You think you do, but have you ever sat down and asked them any questions? Now, after 58 years of marriage, I probably don't know everything I need to know about my wife. She knew everything about me within 24 hours. Women are just intuitive that way. I don't think it's not that way. But, you know, it is absolutely a truth there that, likewise, it dwell with them according to honor, under the wife as under the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we've dealt with that in the past time. So knowledge here is also the idea of knowing your wife's favorite meal, the books that she likes to read, activities that she likes to do, her favorite color, her likes and dislikes, her strengths for which she is to be praised, her weaknesses for which you do not criticize them for their weaknesses, but you pray for them and you do that in private. See, it's always easy to point out someone else's weaknesses, isn't it? Someone else's fault. You can pinpoint them in a heartbeat. But you know what? You can't change your spouse's hearts. Only God can do that. And God wants to be able to use you, not lecturing them, but being a demonstration of the Word of God. Demonstrating God's work in us as men, for sure. So a godly, Christ-like home is a tranquil home that rises above, as we saw that word situation, it means rising above. So a tranquil home is one that rises above the carnal worldly home. The carnal worldly home. Now, some have peace, yes, no, and some have no peace, and who knows, they'd be tumultuous at best. But outside of coming to faith in Christ, the next best thing that we can do is yield our lives to live in obedience to the Scriptures, and this includes marriage and the home. An unequally yoked marriage that comes about after two unsaved people get married, and in time one does come to faith in Christ, the redeemed individual will probably have a battle against Satan for sure. Your spouse is not your battleground. Satan is, yeah, but she's the one who, or he's the one who is resisting. He's the one, or she's the one this. And you can go all, it's Satan who is egging them on. It is Satan who, so Satan is the battle. Never forget that. And as soon as you learn that, it's amazing how things can change in your relationship when you get saved and your spouse does not. And so, Satan for sure, it isn't the unsaved that you need to battle, it is Satan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, I want to look up that while we get ready to close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's a wonderful chapter in there about husbands and wives, and it deals not only with men, I'm talking here, I'm going right on by it. And it actually covers both situations in that chapter there, saved and unsaved, saved being married, two people being saved and married, as well as one who has come to saving faith afterwards. But he says there, let me see, in verse 13, the Bible says there very quickly, it says, no, 2 Corinthians, I said first, didn't I? I don't want to be there. Yeah, okay, yes I do. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. So anyway, verse 13 says, "And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him." Just the opposite of what the Jehovah's Witness would tell you. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified. Oh, what a wonderful. But some of you, that means that the wife gets saved, the husband is saved. That's not true. That is not true at all. The word sanctified here means a non-believer influenced by his marriage to a Christian woman. He is influenced to Christ. It's the same thing with children. Mom and dad get saved, and they choose to live their life as a godly couple. Then their living as a godly couple will be an influence to their children in God's timing. And so what he goes on and he says there, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. And he says in verse 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Talk about the influence. You can't save anybody. Not eternally, you can't save them. But you can be a tool in the hand of God to be used in a very godly way to influence the unsaved around you to come to know Christ. Some people have often said, I'd rather see a sermon any day than to hear one. Which basically is the same thing. If you see it and you hear it. But unfortunately, I think a lot of God's people do not live the sermon. Well, they can preach it. We just can't live it very well. Can't live it very well. So only God can change the human heart. Or the home. We are merely the instrument that he uses when we are allowing his spirit to guide us each step of the way. Is your home rising above the world, worldly homes? Do others find joy when they visit? They come in there and say, it just seems like this a peace that passes under this home. It just, the whole atmosphere of it just seems so calm. Do our spouse and children love to come home? Coming home should be like coming out of a very cold storm and stepping into a bit of heaven where there's warmth and a fire, warm hearts and a warm home. Amen? And we can do that this side of heaven. But it takes work. And it takes sacrifice. And it certainly takes a lot of yielding of our lives to the Lord. All right, so prayer time here real quick here. We've got Vicki had medical procedure yesterday, and so I'm sure she's recovering from that. So to kind of remember her in prayer. And they put on Lori Tall to get her strength back following COVID. Pray for Clark and Isabel. They'll be heading out Friday to Rochester area there for her mom, Nellie Winterstein's memorial. Also, I put on here, I think it's on the backside here, and that is for Betty Goldberg. That is Isabel's sister, diagnosed with at least 3 areas of cancer. That's what they discovered so far, right? So at this point, so please remember them. Carrie's heart arrhythmia to reset to normal. And then, of course, pray for the defeat of the abortion bill, Proposition 5. I think it was, I heard something on the news, I can't remember what it was, but it said 3 states. And the announcement, whatever it was not very positive. And it's I think, California, New Jersey, and Vermont. I think it was, okay, so we have an uphill battle for to get Proposition 5 defeated. All we can hope, my wife keeps telling me I can't do it. I can't put it out on the sign out that way. Abortion is a demonic obsession with death. It is. Amen. It is the truth. I believe it. With all my heart, I believe it's a demonic obsession. Why would they fight so hard? I mean, they're willing to kill and destroy just to be able to get this stupid thing passed. Not just here in the state of Vermont, but anywhere it is in the world. So they have an obsession with death. I'm just going to put a little thing else in the front there. It says it's a demonic obsession with death. So they really pray hard and let other people know. Don't be afraid to stand up and tell them, hey, listen, this is what I say. Right, Timmy?
I'm not afraid to stand up and say, Pastor, but I would like a building to come to. I'm a little concerned that, somebody drops some cash,
This is God's
word.
Well, you know what? It's God's house. He can do with it. He can protect it better than I can. So, we'd probably lose our 501c3 rating. Then they couldn't stop us from saying anything.
No.
I mean, to me, that's a win-win. No, if we lose it, what are they going to take away from us? No, we have to pray about that one. Because I can always go get another job someplace else. I mean, ain't there a lot of churches need pastors right now? Oh, glory. But anyway, We do need to get serious about that. We need to start talking about it. And, you know, I'd put that on my put that bumper sticker on my car so when my wife is driving around it. So. I need her around for a little while. So those are some of the new ones I put on there, and I did put Josiah because Diane asked me to put her grandson on here, Josiah, so be much in prayer for Josiah. He's wrestling with a lot of things that young people wrestle with for whatever reason. And isn't that they haven't had fundamental homes and been raised in fundamental churches and gone to fundamental Christian schools? They just get out there and all of a sudden they think like it's a bunch of malarkey. And of course, when their lives come to a dead end, they wonder, well, what happened? Well, all your choices did. So anyway, Jack's good to have you here tonight. Group one, you guys going to group number one. Pregnancies and spiritual needs. Steve, with those. Salvations and missions of the month. Clark, you want to hit those? And somebody want to volunteer for Island Pond, Calvary Baptist Church in Island Pond? They can pray for that too. All right, I'll get up some. Jack.
I just had a quick thing on their pregnancy. We had asked for prayer a while back for a gal at a bank in Waterbury that I stopped at. She's having a little baby girl, and that Phyllis was her name, and she had a little baby girl. It actually came a little bit early. It was supposed to be beginning of May, and she had her in April, but everything went great, and I had told her we'd be praying for her.
So. Okay. Yep. And again, okay.
And also, Christine Saint is having baby number 5 in December.
Could be something with the water and chili. God. Whoa. I guess we have to raise our admission support this right now. Anyway, yeah, get us started.
Dear Lord and Father, thank you to be here tonight. We continue to pray for Clark's eyes to remain healthy. We pray for Rosa and Jim for their health problems. And thank you that Rosa is doing better with her foot and things that she had with that. Pray that they'll continue to get acclimated to their new home, and it's hard to learn a new area where to go for different things, so we just pray that you continue to help them with that, and we're continuing to pray for them, and Jim settles in as well, and the problems he has. We pray for Dan Charlotte and his ministries out there in Texas for the meetings and needs, and for safety and finances. We continue to pray for salvation for the president, for his family as well, for the vice president, how much they need salvation to see clearly how to lead this country. We pray for our legislators, not only in the capital of the country, but also in Vermont, from the governor to the Senate and the House, Washington as well, that all these folks get legitimately saved, not just something that they say, but something that actually happens, a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we would start seeing a difference in the laws that are being passed and how they're obeyed or not. And we pray for the judges as well. The judges from the top to the small towns, if they would do their judicial things with the Bible and why not with politics. And we pray for Robin B., who's dealing with cancer, that he be with her, be with her doctors, and for Stephen Ross, who's been struggling with myasthenia gravis, that be with the doctors and help him to cope with that. And we pray for Richard Phelps also battling cancer, and they help him to feel better, and for the doctors to come up with some things to help him, and for Almighty God to just cure him, if that's your will. thing that the doctors will be able to help them, give the doctors wisdom, and give them strength, and we pray for the family as well. And for Haven King with multiple health issues, we pray that we be with him, cover his mind, help him to just rely on your word and your strength to go through these things. And we pray, continue to pray for the Newton family, for Tanner, get everything settled after Mike's homegoing, and give Tanner wisdom and kind of deal with certain things that she has to deal with, and make the decision for the future. We pray for the memorial service for Isabel's mom, Nellie, which will be on June 11th, and I pray we can go well with that, and we'll be with the family there, that it will be something that will be a blessing for those there, and glorifying your name. We pray for Lori to get her strength back following COVID, and that she'll be back with us soon. We pray for her to feel better even tonight, but she'll feel your hand upon her and start feeling a lot better. We thank you again that we can be here tonight. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name.
Father, Father, we continue before you tonight. We are so very thankful for the sanctity, for the value that life is, Lord, that you have put into life. Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege to be able to lift up those these in prayer that Lord, are expecting children, and Lord, praying with them that, Father, they'll be able to bring these children into situations, into their homes that, Lord, are lifting you up. And Father, there are some that, Father, need that extra prayer because of or they may not be quite so centered on you. So, Father, we're just so thankful for the life that we have in you. We're thankful for the life that you have given us. And, Father, we just pray for these that, Lord, are expecting babies. Father, we think of Jessica and Brian, Lord, expecting their second child. We just continue to pray that God, through this experience, through this pregnancy, that, Lord, the health of the mom and the health of the baby will be just exactly right as you would see fit. But Lord, also that they would prepare their home, Father, in such a way that, Lord, that they'll recognize that the life of the child is completely in your hands, and Lord, they are being entrusted with this tremendous, precious gift. And so, Father, we just pray that you will accomplish there, that you'll have to direct them. But also, we are so thankful for the good report tonight for Isabella. Lord, as she's now taking her bottle and doing well, though she was quite premature, we are very thankful, Father, for your protection of this little girl and for the preciousness of her life as well. We also continue to pray for mom there. We just pray, God, that your will be accomplished, that your hand be upon her physical needs as well. Lord, provide her the healing she needs as well. Lord, also with the emotional strain and all of the things that go along with child. We just pray, God, that they're all in your hands. We just continue to ask that you will act right by your Spirit. Father, we continue to pray for the news. Lord, they are also expecting another child this year. And Father, while they go through that expectation, Lord, just making preparations and continuing to pray for your will to be accomplished, Lord, for not only the family, not only the child, but also for their mission field. So, Father, we just pray that, Lord, God, your Spirit will be at work there. We thank you, Father, also for the good report from this one, Phyllis, I believe, that has delivered a girl back in and is doing well. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, even that experience, Lord, the dimension that we'd be praying for, Father, that can be used as a witness for her as well, that, Lord, there's more to life than just having a child, but there's a purpose and there's a plan for that girl, as well as there is for each one. So, Father, we continue to pray that also for the Aspire Together organization, Lord, as they continue to work diligently and try to counsel young ladies and ladies that are expecting children that, Lord, don't see the same value in the life that you do, and trying to counsel them that, Lord, they will not abort children, but, Lord, they will bring the child to life also that, Father, there are so many that don't see any sanctity in life and how their own selfish needs that it's inconvenient. Father, we just pray for those, and we just continue to pray that your Holy Spirit will come and pray and convict and, Lord, show them the or the horror of the idea of aborting the life. So, Father, we just pray that you will be able to accomplish. Father, we also then pray for the spiritual needs and growth of so many, Lord, these folks who, Lord, we believe at one time have made a profession of faith. Father, whether it's circumstances of life, whether it's growing cold, waxing cold, as Scripture has mentioned for a number of incidents, we just pray, God, that you will guide and direct each one of these. We pray tonight for Elizabeth, for Susanna, and Tommy, for Chris, and Jason, and Patty, Victoria, Lee, and pray for Jerry, and Justin, and Edwin, and Tracy, and Sam. Father, we also lift up to you tonight in prayer, Jordan, John, Gail, our daughter. Jacob, and Keith, and Andre, and Chelsea, and pray for Emily, and Jacob, and Brian, and Jessica, and Lorraine, and Zach, and Josiah as well. Father, each one of these, with a unique situation that, Lord, you are all too familiar with, and we just pray, God, that as you know them, as you know their needs, that work, that you will guide and direct them to the orchestrated services that will bring them to that place where they recognize their need for you and get it back to you. Lord God, we ask all of it, that your will is accomplished, that your name is exalted.
Heavenly Father, we think that celebration of the Christmas spirit any more than can even remember their names, let alone ask your will to be done for these people who can't even think what their names are. Even so, now, by the way, as far as what we have here, we think of all that sheriff that God in. Corey B. Austin, Kenny F. Cindy, Paul P. Tyler G. and family, Mark H. and family, Sheila family, Beth Y., Stephen T., Jacob C., Patrick, Kim, Kelly, David, Brendan, Grant, Elijah, Ty, Tom H., Mark, David, the young fellow that Pastor Craig met, Mount Eagle. Lord, like everyone, these souls need salvation. We can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. He did all the work, he died, and he was Lamb of God, slain for each and every one of us. He shed his blood and we might be washed and cleansed. We can't get any better than that, Lord. We've done everything. Now it's up to us. Lord, we see our missionaries Mrs. Faith Brennan, who is a missionary to Brazil. Lord, he's been on the mission field for quite a while. We think of Pastor and Mrs. Nate Saint in Chile. And just recently, tonight, heard that you're expecting yet another child. Or have that way in their ministry, in their home life, with respect for the little baby to be born, to be healthy, and whether it's a boy or a girl, it doesn't matter. Healthy, and the Lord being raised in the American nation. We think also the pastor, this is Kyron Horton, ministry in Brazil, and many others. Help support, Lord. Pray that as far as we are concerned here at Calvary, that we would always be on time with the amount of money that we agreed upon with these missionaries to help with support from time to time, from Christmas time, a little bonus to encourage them to be a blessing. Excess money that we have left over, everything's paid off, goes into the fund for emergency use, or particularly thinking of a fairly sizable sum that went to Dr. Fagley there in the need place, but right in the middle of the end. so many ways. It's our turn to start blessing all these people. Pray in Jesus' name.
And Father, tonight as we look at the additional names on here, we're so thankful for the love and mercy and grace that you shared with us, and that we have come to a saving faith, that we can have this very special Advent, not because we deserve it, but Father, because your Son's made it possible. Lord, we thank you for college students who do have jobs and are at least working. Now, some need a permanent job, and we pray that that'll work out. We think of Brandon and Jake and others that I'm looking for something more permanent, and then Lydia, she will be taking the state boards for nursing. Lord, we pray for our EMT personnel, our fire, police, and so on. And Lord, again, we pray for their souls. We pray for their salvation. And Lord, we know that they put their lives in harm's way quite often. And Lord, we pray that they will have someone, Lord, you'll have someone come into their lives that can share the gospel with them, and that they'll respond and receive Christ. Lord, for our live streaming to continue to be very effective in its outreach, Lord, we thank you. From time to time, we hear that someone else has picked us up and is now listening. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, if there's a local church they can attend, then Lord, that's what they should do. And Lord, give them that that desire of their heart to be a part of a local church that's Bible believing and fundamental, so they can be used and be a part and to serve you there. But Lord, use these media that we have to accomplish your perfect end. We pray the same thing for the mail outs. Lord, every home that we send one out to, Lord, a letter with a gospel track about salvation is included in every one of them. Lord, they will be without an excuse if they do not respond and accept you as your own personal Lord and Savior. But Lord, may the letter, may the track continue as a seed that's been planted. Lord, the days are growing short. We don't know how much longer, but Lord, we know that it can be accelerated. And so, Lord, may the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God convict until they come to that place of receiving Christ. Lord, we think of Marty. We think of Diane tonight. We think of Arden's continued recovery from surgery that she's been dealing with, and the cancer in the eyes. And Lord, we know that school's almost over. We pray that Lucy will have had a great year this year. For Lena, she also was dealing with radiation therapy for her cancer. Lord, may she see opportunities to be able to share the gospel wherever she might be. Lord, for Willie, diagnosed with vascular dementia, Lord, we just pray that you guide and direct and work in this man's life. He loves you, Lord. His wife loves you. Ruby and the family does. And Lord, we just pray that your grace and mercy will prevail in his life. Lord, for Marsha Roy, as she deals with cancer as well. But Lord, we pray more than anything else for her salvation. Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine that are living there, and some have escaped, and Lord, they've been able to get out to outside sources. And Lord, we just thank you for the many ministries that, Lord, but they need money and they need personnel. But Lord, use them mightily and use them powerfully to bring many of these Ukrainians that do not know you as your own personal Lord and Savior, to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, we continue to pray for Carrie tonight, that Lord, you'll help her get her heart back on the right pace. Lord, for Proposition 5, Lord, indeed, something of the, when anybody puts two brain cells together, has to see this as demonic in nature, to be so obsessed with the right to be able to kill a child that's done nothing, is innocent and helpless and defenseless. And yet here are these individuals, Lord, they're evil, but Lord, you love them, and we know that you want to see them saved. But Lord, we do ask and pray that you'll really touch many, many hearts, more than is necessary to be able to defeat this Proposition 5. Lord, for Betty Goldberg, diagnosed with the cancer, pray that you guide and direct to meet the needs in her life. Guide and direct the doctors for the right kind of treatment accordingly. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Clark and Isabel as they head over there to Rochester area, and that, Lord, you give them traveling mercies. We pray for the graduation exercises that will be taking place on Saturday. Again, a lot of parents, a lot of students, we pray that, again, there'll be a hedge of protection around about them as well, and there won't be anything that will happen there at all. Lord, also we think of Calvary Baptist here in Island Pond, that Lord, you'll guide and direct. And Lord, these people are looking for help, they're looking for hope. Lord, we pray that you'll provide exactly what is necessary for that church. Lord, it's hard to imagine that you'd want that area to be without an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in that area. So, Lord, you prevail and bring honor and glory accordingly. We give you that praise in Jesus' name. Amen.